quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's show. We have a really great lineup of guests in store. We're going to be speaking to Eric Taub. Eric is going to tell us about something called Ibogaine, which helps people with drug addiction. It's very, very interesting. We're also talking to V.S. Marlowe. He's the author of the book The Last Messiah, a real great mystery based on a lot of truth. We're speaking to David Young. He's the author of The Political Spectrum, Freedom Versus Enslavement. And we're also talking to Scott Vedder. He's going to tell us how to make the right kind of resume when you're looking for a job. Finally, we're having Jason Dowd's Holly Weird Report. Please stay tuned. I know you're going to enjoy it.
There's aspirin, adrenaline, and also aminophylline, amphetamine, adenosine, augmentin, and rifampicin, amoxicillin, penicillin, heparin, and warfarin, and estrogen, progestogen, and canesten, and chloroquine. There's bendrafume, thiazide, and also cyclophosphamide, and metoclopramide, acetazolamide, tropicamide, loperamide, amiloride, and cyclozine, and furosemide. And if you're up the duff, then you'd best avoid thalidomide. There's lithium, fluoxetine, and also amitriptyline, paroxetine, digoxin, GTN, and azathioprine, miconazole, atenolol, and also chloramphenicol, and if you want to overdose, there's always paracetamol. There's nitinus, and lisphenytoin, Zyrtec, and diazepam, and lithium, temazepam, midazolam, clonazepam, testosterone, aldosterone, and valium, and insulin, and lignocaine, and pyriton, and ventolin, and ritalin. There's kefuroxin, kefotaxin, kefalexin, kefadrin, and metronidazole, and ketoconazole, trimethoprim, erythromycin, gentamicin, macrolide, mifedipine, and Actifed, and Sudafed, and Calpol with no sugar in. There's phenylzine, and hyoscine, ranitidine, cimetidine, potassium, and calcium, and every kind of vitamin, and pethidine, and methadone, and speakercane, and heroin, and cannabis, and Prozac, morphine, alcohol, and nicotine. You must remember all these drugs, the names of which you've learnt from me. Or fuck them all and get a job in orthopedic surgery.
Welcome back to the show. I have Eric Taub online. Eric is quite an interesting man. He's had 20 years' experience in studying something called Ibogaine. Am I saying that right?
You are.
It's a natural healing tool, but it's something that is going to help people get off of opiates, stimulants, alcohol, and post-traumatic stress, and I guess this would also cover the big, terrible thing out there today, oxycodone, which is an opiate, right?
That's right.
Eric, tell me about this Ibogaine, because I think it's become an epidemic, these drugs, and alcoholism, of course, has always been an epidemic.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Tell us
I'm
about...
I'm sorry, can what, you repeat
what,
that?
Opiates, oxycodones, alcohol, these are becoming epidemic proportions in this country.
Well, they certainly are, and they have been for many, many years.
Yes. Tell us how this works and what it actually does.
Sure. Well, Ibogaine is an alkaloid extracted from a West African shrub, and one of the things that it does is it profoundly interrupts the symptoms of withdrawal from opiates, and it eliminates the craving. So that when a person does Ibogaine during a 36-hour psychotropic experience, they are placed into a pre-addictive state, biochemically and otherwise. Hmm. So it's a very holistic effect, and it's a one-dose, single-dose process.
You mean it'll actually detoxify someone with one dose?
That's right. That's right. And that's what I've experienced with about 2,700 people during the last a little over 21 years.
It's amazing. Is this a prescription medicine?
No, it's not. It's actually illegal in the United States and a few other countries in the world. I think the short answer as to why it's illegal is because it works so well. The pharmaceutical companies would really lose a lot of money if there was an Ibogaine center in every VA hospital in the United States.
I would think so. I mean, are there any dangerous side effects to it?
there are only positive side effects.
That's what I'm saying. Why would it be illegal?
I'm sorry?
For the exception of these detox and drug treatment and alcohol treatment is big money and big business, is that the only reason it's illegal?
I'm sure there are other reasons, and I tend to be very naive and kind of innocent about the implications of why this is taking place, but there seems to be for years indication that the reason why it's illegal is because it's a naturally occurring substance and pharmaceutical companies cannot patent it. It's nothing like methadone or Suboxone, which is something that the pharmaceutical companies and doctors can prescribe on a daily basis. It's basically, for a lot of people, it's also 10 years of therapy rolled into a 3-day experience, and it gives people deep insight as to why they became addicted personalities in the first place. So it's a very holistic, very natural, probably the most humane addiction interrupter that is located on the planet right now.
That's amazing. And if a person is an alcoholic, they won't have experiencing DTs with this?
No, they will. The thing with alcohol is that it profoundly, there's a metabolite. When the ibogaine interacts with the biochemistry in the brain, in the system, there's a metabolite that fills up the opiate, the alcohol, the nicotine receptor sites, and it really has a wonderful effect of eliminating craving for alcohol, but a person would have to go through the DTs during those few days of process because ibogaine does not address alcohol DTs, but it does affect the elimination of craving for alcohol.
But it will affect the withdrawal symptoms from an opiate.
Profoundly, like 95% to 98%.
That is amazing. That is just amazing. It's illegal to get it, so what do people do if they're listening to this?
Well, when I came back from Africa 21 years ago, there was just myself and one other individual that was conducting treatments in the world outside of West Central Africa where the plant actually grows. The ibogaine is extracted from this plant. And now there are centers in 30 different countries. There are many centers throughout this hemisphere. Our center is located in Costa Rica.
Okay. Am I talking to you in Costa Rica now?
I happen to be in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
I take my Vantage line wherever I go.
Okay.
Yes,
this is amazing. Now, how can people learn more about this? I mean, it's certainly worth taking a trip to Costa Rica. It isn't that far away. Plus, you'll have a good time.
It's not that far away. Well, you can certainly go online. My website happens to be I Begin Again, the three simple words smooshed together, I Begin Again.org, and my name is Eric Taub. But you can just go online and Google search ibogaine, and there's so many YouTube presentations.
Amazing.
And there's about
now, for everybody out there, it's ibogaine, ibogaine. And Eric Taub, we're speaking to, Taub, and your website is ibeginagain.org?
That's right.
That's a good one. Well, I'm fascinated with this, and are any efforts being done to legalize this in this country?
Efforts, absolutely not. Half the addicts die before they're 50 years old, and ibogaine is not only on the fast track, it's not even on the slow track, because it's so politicized. I mean, the quote-unquote good guys and the quote-unquote bad guys don't want to have anything to do with ibogaine becoming legal in the United States.
Very interesting.
We're talking about a multi-billion-dollar pharmaceutical and rehab industry that is not interested in ibogaine.
Very, very interesting. It's like a number of years ago, I remember that there was something, it was an extract from apricot pits, I believe, that was actually curing cancer. And that was illegal in this country.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Again, a multi-billion-dollar business. Eric, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been very, very fascinating, and I hope people are going to get some help out of this.
Well, I appreciate the time. I really do.
My
pleasure.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying, we're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend a presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Maya he, Maya who, Maya ho, Maya ha ha. Derp, 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 derp,
Welcome back to the show. We've got a great guest online. We're speaking to V.S. Marlowe. V.S. Marlowe is a very famous author, and he's written a book which is really something else called The Last Messiah. It also has to do with mystery, intrigue, a secret treasure, politics. V.S., welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've been reading a little bit of a synopsis on your book, and it really sounds fascinating. Is there truth in it? Is it built on reality?
Well, there's a lot of truth in it. The treasure is a real treasure that's been missing for about 450 years. So for the treasure hunters in the audience, unless it's been destroyed, it's out there somewhere. There's a confluence of present events and things that the book says will happen in the future. It goes beyond the current turmoil, what used to be Arab Spring, I guess it's now Arab Winter, and what might follow. But it's such a compelling story that whether you take it as fact or fiction, it's a really fascinating read.
Have you had any response to the government about your book?
You mean from the United States government?
Well, from any governments. I mean, has there been reaction about it?
I've gotten some reaction from, I know that it's been observed and read in Iran and Israel, because one of the starting points of the book, it's after a supposed Western attack on Iran and what will follow. So I know that they're aware of it. Beyond that, no, nothing. So far, I'm still a free man.
Well, I think that supposed attack is probably imminent.
Yeah, it's been, it becomes headline and then it fades away. Right now, Syria is distracting from that, but Syria is part of that issue, and I think within 2 years it will have happened.
Now, I know that you're using your pen name and you're trying to keep somewhat anonymous, but you've had experience in the Foreign Service, haven't you?
Yeah, I was a career diplomat with the United States, and then I went into private business about 20 years ago, but I do maintain relationships in the diplomatic services, not only of the U.S., but elsewhere. I also consult for foreign governments. So I believed that it was best that I not use my real name, that it might, the story is far out in some aspects, and I thought it might damage my credibility with my clients, and some of it's inflammatory and incendiary, so I thought this is the best way to go.
What do you think personally is going to happen over there in the Mideast?
I think that I do, as we were just discussing, I think there will be an attack on Iran. What comes after, the book predicts that a new leader will arise in the Muslim world and bring it together. And it's unclear until the end of the book, and I'm not going to give the ending away, whether this is a positive or a positive event or something to fear. But I think we're only probably 20% into the transformation of the Middle East. The dictatorial regimes there have retarded the natural social evolution that's happened in other parts of the world. So they have a lot of catching up to do, and they're really just starting the process. It's very painful to watch and to be part of, but I'm hopeful. Not anytime soon, but at some point, the bloodshed will diminish and things will stabilize. But we're a long way from that yet.
It hasn't diminished in a pretty long time. I think you can go back centuries.
Yes.
In fact, I think
what people forget that there have been great stretches of collaboration and cooperation between that part of the world and the West and others, then things have really, more recently, they've kind of gone downhill. I would like to see us return to the kind of cooperation that existed, say, in medieval Spain, where the three Western religions managed to, you know, coexist fairly well, Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And create a very vibrant culture, but more recent events have not been so encouraging.
Well, didn't they create the Inquisition there?
Well, the Inquisition, believe it or not, was a Christian invention, and that But prior to that, it was a tricultural, tri-religious, really hybrid state that worked quite well.
Well, Turkey is
kind of.
Doesn't
mean that there weren't.
Peaceful.
Yeah, I mean, Turkey similar.
That's actually does exist there to a great extent.
That's right, and this a large part of this book is set in Turkey, one of the countries that I love very much, and not perfect. And from time to time, things go in the opposite direction. But in general, Turkey has a tradition of tolerance and inclusion that is, kind of an example for the rest of the world.
I totally agree. Now, for folks that are listening, we're speaking to V.S. Marlow and his book, The Last Messiah. The Last Messiah's treasure is an actual 3,000-year-old solid ruby Persian artifact that was once held by Cyrus, Xerxes, Alexander the Great, and Genghis Khan. And in his book, it's being sought not only for the gem and historic value, but for the key to a futuristic energy source that could create the ultimate weapon of mass destruction. It sounds a little bit like the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, it is. I would like people to read the book, so I don't want to tell them too much. But this artifact has a sort of a revered place in Persian and Central Asian history. It's believed that whoever holds this artifact has the ability to control essentially the heart of the world, which is Eurasia. And but there's lots of other stuff salted in there. So
have you been compared a little bit to Dan Brown? I imagine you have.
I'm a great admirer of his, especially the research he did, say, for the Da Vinci Code, turning up historical stuff that had been later either forgotten or suppressed, but about the development of the Catholic Church and theology. It was quite interesting.
Well, V.S., can you tell the folks how to get hold of your book? And because it sounds just fascinating.
Sure.
I can't wait to get it and read it myself.
Yeah. It's available. You can get it in bookstores. If it's not there, they can order it in paperback form. It's also available on Amazon and on Amazon Kindle in an e-version and all sorts of other distributors and so on. It's available in English around the world. It hasn't been translated yet, but hopefully that'll come.
Well, I think you're going to be a best-selling author with this one. And, V.S., I can't thank you enough for being on the show. And everyone out there, be sure to read The Last Messiah by V.S. Marlowe.
Thank you very much, Stuart.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with our direct. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink, unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.
Welcome back to the show. I have a great guest online. We're speaking to David Young. David is an award-winning nonfiction writer, born in South New Jersey, where he attended college for architectural engineering. He's a successful businessman and a professional home designer. He is possessing an ardent interest in the nature of man. He studied religious philosophy and the spiritual nature of man for the last 37 years. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stuart. I'm glad to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You're a very interesting guy. Tell me a little bit about this. I know you've written a book, and about what you're doing with your life.
I own an architectural company in Clearwater, Florida. And other than that, I spend most of my time writing. And when I came across, during the 2012 elections, I noticed that several of the politicians on the left referred to various Republicans on the right as fascists. Uh-huh. And I knew that wasn't right because I listened to the speeches of the Republicans, and I began to wonder why they thought that a person who was speaking about the Constitution, about personal responsibility, would be considered a fascist, because since when was freedom and fascism the same thing?
What's kind of playing out right now with what's going on in Syria and Obama, that Romney was really pretty much right about everything.
Exactly. So I wrote this book because I felt this information was important after I'd done my research. And what I found basically is that incorrect information leads to wrong conclusions and actions. And for example, with Syria right now, you know, the questions are, did the government do it? Did the rebels do it? Perhaps a third party use these chemical weapons? And the question you kind of have to ask yourself is, like, who would benefit most by the U.S. attacking the Syrian government? So there's no obvious answers without actually having the true data. So you can see that without knowing the truth, it's difficult to come up with the right decision.
Well, that's true. You know, everything I read and hear about it is there's just no good guys over there.
Exactly. So correct or true information obviously helps a person make the right decisions and accomplish his objectives. And this is really true of the political spectrum. And I'd like to kind of start with something that we know is true, and that's just defining what a spectrum is.
Okay.
It's a step-by-step scale between two opposite extremes. And as an example, two extremes would be something like black and white. And then between those, you have all the shades that make up what is called the gray spectrum.
All right, that makes a lot of sense.
Right, so a spectrum is a step-by-step scale between two opposite extremes. Now, if you take the traditional European political spectrum, they put communism on the left and fascism on the right. And that's a pathway to tyranny in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a black and white extreme. It's more like black and dark gray, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
It ignores more than half of the actual spectrum. So this spectrum, the political spectrum, also includes conservatism on the right and liberalism on the left. But neither of these are actually political systems. Right? They're simply just attitudes towards social or political issues of the day. So for instance, there are liberal communists and there are conservative communists. There are liberal fascists and there are conservative fascists. So you can see how the political spectrum is actually misleading.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, you've written a book about this, haven't you?
Exactly. The book is called The Political Spectrum, Freedom versus Enslavement. And I found it's a false conclusion for any Republican or Democrat to actually believe they're somewhere between communism and fascism. They're not. Not even close. So the first thing I did actually to clarify the political spectrum was I wanted to find the actual extremes of government systems. In other words, what is the black and white of the political spectrum?
Okay.
So I took a look at, say, communist Russia. They murdered or imprisoned all their political oppositions. They built
Stalin was as bad a killer as Hitler, really.
Absolutely. And they built barbed wire fences and walls, not to keep immigrants from sneaking into their beautiful country, but to keep their own people from escaping.
Mm-hmm.
And they took over all the property, production, and labor. They owned that and controlled it. And basically, the Communist Party ran everything. So communism actually enslaves its population. If you look at the legal definition, that's basically enslavement. So it would follow that the extreme right of the political spectrum is government which recognizes and supports the inalienable rights of the people it governs. In other words, it's a government built on freedom.
That seems to be eroding, though, today in our country.
Oh, it sure is.
I mean, we have judges. We have judges, not the people, making
right.
the rules.
Exactly. So we see that happening, and of course, that's why people who are interested in freedom are becoming concerned with what's happening in our country. But it becomes clear that the two extremes of the political spectrum were actually based on freedom and enslavement, not communism and fascism.
What do you see happening in the near future in our country with Obama? And he's into quite a quagmire right now.
It's hard to predict because there seems to be so many different different things going on. And Obama, obviously, he has his own agenda. And it's kind of hard to tell when this guy is lying and when he's telling the truth. And generally, I don't believe what he says, and I just generally don't listen to him because I don't see that he has the interest of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and our country.
No, he doesn't.
Heart, even
in the Mideast, he's really got himself into a mess.
Yeah.
You know, the way I look at it, there's the worst player there, is, and the most dangerous is probably Iran.
And that could... it's that same thing with, do we have all the data? You know, we have what we're told by our government, and on one hand, we don't trust our government to tell us the truth, and then on the other hand, we find that we're having to, you know, in certain aspects, and normally because they put us in a state of fear, that we want to believe them. And
well, I don't think you can really call the Iranians good people.
Not the government. The people themselves.
I think the only honest government over there, and you could question that too, is Israel.
Right. But it's the people themselves that I'm talking about when we look at this. I mean, governments are, you know, go out of control, and obviously that's probably what is happening with these various governments in the Mideast. And even with our own government, it's, you know, do we really have people, government by the people, for the people now?
Well, David, you're a fascinating guy. Can you tell everyone how to get your book? Because it sounds like something everybody should read, everybody needs to read.
The Political Spectrum, Freedom versus Enslavement is available on Amazon.com in softcover. It's available for Kindle from Amazon. It's also available on iBooks, and it's available with Barnes & Noble Nook as well.
Well, I can't wait to read it myself, and you're a very interesting person, and you've given us a lot of insight. David, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend a presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I have Scott Vedder on the phone. Scott is a very interesting man. He has written a book about signs of a great resume. It's a number one bestseller on Amazon, and I think today with so many people looking for work, you better have a good resume. A bad one's certainly not going to help, is it?
No, that's correct. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I mean, it's a lot of competition out there in the workforce today.
Indeed there is, and it's more important than ever to really highlight what makes you special, what makes your qualifications unique, and really to write a resume that speaks for itself.
And should a resume be real long, or how detailed, or what do you think?
Well, it's size does matter in terms of your resume, and what it matters is...
That's what my wife tells me.
It matters only so that you show as much information as is needed to explain exactly why you're qualified for a job. And no more and no less, you have to speak to the qualifications listed in the job posting and indicate exactly what makes you the best candidate for the job.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, you might have a great career, but if it doesn't apply to the job you're looking for, it doesn't make much sense, does it?
That's right. I often get people asking me, you know, if they have a 20-year career, how do they put it all in just one page? Well, one or two pages is probably about as much information as you would need to include, but you only need to include the most relevant information, including specific examples of what makes you the best candidate.
That makes a lot of sense. And spell it right, I would think.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Spelling is important, and grammar, and it's always good to have a second set of eyes, have a respected colleague or friend also review your resume, because there's no excuse for making simple errors on a resume like that.
No, there really isn't. You know, you've written a book about this, haven't you?
That's right. I wrote Signs of a Great Resume. It's the number one best-selling book on Amazon in the resume category, and it explains how to make your resume speak for itself. And the method I use is called Signs because it's a series of symbols. And if you look down at your keyboard, the numbers 1 through 5, right above there, I bet you just looked at your keyboard, right?
I'm looking at it right now.
You'll see the signs of a great resume. So the first one's an exclamation point. What makes your experience unique? Wow, look at what you did. Nobody else did that. The at symbol is important places, dates, and things. At what point you gained relevant experience? At what email address can you be reached? And numbers and dollars and percent that prove and quantify what makes you a great candidate for the job.
That's fascinating. I never looked at my keyboard the same way.
Exactly.
Pretty
and
good.
I looked down and saw it one day and said, hey, this is exactly what I'm looking for on a resume. I was a Fortune 100 recruiter. I did over 5,000 interviews, and I saw a lot of resumes that really didn't stand out to me because people didn't quantify exactly what they did that made their experience unique. And when I looked down and I saw the signs, I said, aha, that's what I need to see. Your resume needs to be full of the signs of a great resume.
Interesting. You know, I've never actually made a resume for myself because I always figured nobody would ever hire me. But
well, I always say the best time to write a resume is when you don't need one. So you had best start looking now and writing a resume now so that when a great opportunity does arise, you've been recording your important accomplishments and achievements all along the way.
Well, about 30-something years ago, I owned a very large, actually the second largest mortgage company in Los Angeles County. And I was a mortgage broker, and I dealt with every major institution. And I got this audacious request from some bank I never heard of, little bank up in Santa Barbara, saying that they'd consider doing business with us if we'd send them my resume, like I really needed them. So that's the only resume I ever made up, and I put down my title as manicurist. I never heard
sure
from them again.
Stood out to them.
No, I never heard from them.
Indeed. Well, a resume is a great place to highlight exactly what your title is, but not always the title is important. What's more important is what you've achieved in the role. So somebody who's got an ambiguous title or one that doesn't translate over from one industry to another, it's important to explain what you've done for your company, what you've accomplished, and how that relates to the job that you're applying for.
And your book lays all this out and details this.
Yeah, absolutely. My book lets you take it from a blank page all the way right into your next job. And when I looked at other resume books out there, I realized a lot of them are pretty dreadful. They're very long, and they contained a lot of examples of, you know, Janet wants to be an astronaut and Joe wants to be an accountant. Well, how does that help you? It doesn't. When you use the signs of a great resume, using those symbols we talked about to explain your experience, you can use those in any field, whether you're in a civilian job, whether you're in the military, no matter what kind of environment you're working in, the signs of a great resume work, and they'll help to stand out for all the right reasons to a recruiter.
Well, everyone listening to this is pretty important because I know there's so much competition today in the job market. This is one of the hardest times I've ever seen. And, you know, you're competing with a lot of people. And your first impression that people are going to get is that resume. That's before they ever see you. And if it's a bad resume, they'll probably never see you.
That's right. And in fact, when a recruiter sees your resume, the average resume is looked at for somewhere between 7 and 30 seconds. That's it. Before the recruiter decides no, or hey, maybe I want to read more, and they'll go into more detail later. So you've got to catch their eye right away. In the book, I explain to write a summary of qualifications that easily showcases a highlight of why you're qualified, and then goes into details with examples on the rest of your resume.
Makes a lot of sense. Do you use bold type in certain items and certain things or not?
Really, the only thing I encourage bolding is the header everything about formatting is a lot less important than your content. The content is what is critical. I've seen a lot of fancy formats and lines and boxes, and those don't always translate right when you upload it into the recruiting software. So I advocate really simple, very basic and clean font, a few bolded highlights as far as like the categories and the headers for each section go, but otherwise keep the formatting simple and keep the content great using the signs of a great resume.
I think that is so important. Again, we're talking to Scott Vedder, V-E-D-D-E-R. And Scott, once again, will you tell everyone your book and how to get a copy of it?
Sure thing. The book is Signs of a Great Resume, and you can pick up a copy at scottvedder.com, where I've also got lots of free tips and information that will help you today.
Say that, what is that website again?
Sure, it's scottvedder.com.
Okay, that's easy. Scott Vedder, S-C-O-T-T-V-E-D-D-E-R.com. And I think if anybody's out there looking for a job or thinking about changing your job, this is critical. This is like having the Bible. This is pretty important information.
It's very important information, and it's coming right from a recruiter. If you've ever wondered what they're thinking on the other side of the desk, I give you all the insight you need to really stand out from the competition and get the job of your dreams.
Fascinating. Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem, a way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME. Stay tuned for our weekly segment with Jason Dowd, presenting his Holly Weird Report.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's Dowd Holly Weird Report and strange news from around the world. Let's start off this week with some Holly Weird news and some updates, shall we? If you have $72.5 million in your wallet, as I know you all do, you can own a piece of entertainment history. Celine Dion has put up her Juniper, Florida mansion home, which includes 5.7 acres of lush property, packed full of luxurious amenities. And then, when you're done walking outside and enjoying those amenities, you can retreat into your 10,000 square foot abode. Dion purchased a property in 2005 for $12.5 million, then added $7 million for an adjacent property, then tore down the house that was on there and built the mansion for her and her husband, Renee. She's selling the home because she signed a contract through 2019, which will have her on the road, keeping her from enjoying the castle, this castle in the south. If she gets the asking price for this, she's going to make quite a hefty sum of money because she only spent $20 million to build it, and she's asking almost five times the amount that she paid for it. However, you know that until then, until she either sells it or until they come back, the maids and the workers will be throwing some sick parties there. And they'll have everything that they need to clean it up afterwards, too, so nobody will ever know what even happened. Now, for some other Hollywood news, Khloe Kardashian and her husband are in lover's turmoil, and it came to show after the rumors might be true of infidelity, as Khloe was seen exiting a gym without her wedding ring on. Odom, her husband of 33 years old, and Kardashian have not specifically addressed the latest round of cheating allegations, although Khloe tweeted about a cryptic Instagram post last week that says, "Never judge someone without knowing the whole story. You may think that you understand it, but you don't." Kardashian shared this on Wednesday. She also added, "Stop trying to figure me out and get to know yourself first." But I must say, does anybody really care about any of this? I mean, it's not our lives. I'm still trying to figure out how these women became a Hollywood celebrity in the first place. It's terrible that they have to go through these things, as it's tough for anyone, but in Hollywood, everybody knows this is an everyday occurrence. I mean, people get married like they go to, like they change clothes. To me, I'm not surprised at this at all. Now here's some really cool news I want to share with you guys. A new Van Gogh painting was authenticated. Ironically, it sat for six decades in a Norwegian industrialist's attic after he was told it was a fake Van Gogh. However, it was pronounced the real thing Monday, which is making it the first full-size canvas by the tortured Dutch artist to be discovered since 1928. Experts at the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam authenticated the 1888 landscape, sunset at Montmorency, with the help of Vincent Van Gogh's letters, chemical analysis of the pigments, and x-rays of the canvas. This is truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience, said museum director Axel Ruger. So how about that, guys, huh? We have a new Van Gogh painting out there. Now let me shift to some strange news from around the world. This dateline is in Colorado. A man named Luke Crisco was a peeping Tom, and he would go to any lengths possible to catch a peep of your privates. And I'm not just exaggerating this, as I'm about to tell you. Honestly, this is probably the most extreme thing I've ever heard of voyeurism. A woman entered a porta potty at the yoga festival as she innocently needed to relieve herself. But when she gets in, she saw something a little strange in the toilet tank. Upon further investigation, she noticed Crisco, who prefers the name Sky Orion, sitting inside the tank. He was peeping on people as they did their business. And when she screamed, he pulled himself out of the tank, covered in feces. He would not say how long he was actually in the tank, and ran off. After being captured by the cops, he eventually pled guilty to attempted unlawful sexual contact and two counts of burglary. He was sentenced to 3 years in jail and 10 years probation. Jail must have been a luxury for him after what he treaded in. At least he knows now that he can watch his fellow cellmates relieve themselves, and there are no doors on those toilets, so he doesn't need to get into any septic tanks or into any types of portalette potties and watch it as they do their business for a closer look. Now, I could honestly say this is probably pretty bad, but it isn't the only time somebody has gotten into a septic tank to peep on somebody's privates. It actually happened two other times, and those people received a lesser sentence. So that's it for this week's Hollywood Report and strange news from around the world. Remember to create your star of fame and not your star of shame, because I have no problem exploiting it. That's all,
folks. I wet myself.
Aren't you ashamed?